This is the Generation Example Podcast.
What exactly does the Bible teach about sex? Right? So first thing, right here, real quick. Sex, the number one purpose. Now, these aren't ranked either. These are just random order. So it's not like the first one is more important than the fourth one. These are random. The first biblical purpose for sex is physical pleasure. Physical pleasure, right? Sex is fun and it feels good. Okay, that's just bottom line, right? And I get that, right? Right, and so there's a really cool book in the Bible called Song of Solomon. For those of you guys ever heard of it, Song of Solomon is the book in the Bible where what it does is it gives a insight into the relationship between two lovers of what sex is all about. And one of the verses is really cool. It says, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2 says, "May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine," right? And there's this idea that sex is really pleasurable and it's just great. It's better than wine, right? And the idea is that the sex that they're having is really good, right? So number one, sex is for, the Bible proclaims that sex is fun and there's pleasure in it and that's okay, right? Number two, but it's not just fun. I think that's what gets you guys all caught up, right? You see sex is fun and yeah, I want to go have sex and it feels good, but there's a whole lot more to sex than just that. Like number two, which is procreation, right? Procreation is just a fancy word of saying this is how we make babies, right? God has given us special body parts and he's given guys' body parts and women body parts, and they work together in a way where through biology, you get the egg and the sperm. And you guys have all heard the story about the birds and the bees with my daughter. Oh, yeah. Crazy story. Ask me later. I'll tell you this story. It's funny, right? But it's just biology. That's how my daughter asked, where do babies come from? You know, she's 4 years old. And I'm like, wow. And we had this big old conversation about where babies are from at four, you know, and she was just into it, you know. And I was like, this isn't weird to you? And she's like, just asking, you know, and she's funny. But that's what sex is for. It's for procreation. Now, number three, the third biblical purpose for sex is intimacy, right? Intimacy. And there's a good verse in Genesis. It says, "For this reason, man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh," right? And so sex is a way that we experience oneness, both physically, spiritually, and emotionally. We get real deep connections with our partner, with our spouse, right? And sex is part of that. A lot of times we think of sex as just a natural thing, you know, like the animals. I remember I told this story before when I was at West Valley going to college and I was on the football team, and some guy was saying some really bad stuff about a girl that was in the gym, and he looked at me and he's, you know, he's like, "Oh, you want that?" And I was like, "No, man, I'm not having sex till I get married." And he looked at me and he's like, "Man, how could you say that?" And I'm like, "Dude, I believe sex is for marriage, you know? It's not what I'm all about, you know?" And he goes, he was just blown back. He didn't know what to say, you know? And he's like, "Dude, what about all the dogs, you know? They run around and hump each other as much as they want, you know?" And I was just like, "Okay, dude, sweet." You know, I was like, "Who told you were a dog? You know what I mean? Like, who, you know what I mean?" And he looked at me and he's like, "Well, you know, I learned that in anthropology class last period, you know?" And it's the dangers of just teaching this hyper kind of evolutionary theory. But anyway, the point is that there's more to sex than just the physical activity of having sex. There's a spiritual oneness as well as a physical oneness. There's an emotional oneness that happens when you come together in that type of relationship. And God intended it that way for intimacy. That's how we become close to our partner, right? There's nothing else you can do on the planet with that type of closeness, right? And so God wanted to reserve that for our partner or our husband or our wife. And the last one real quick is just companionship, right? And companionship is the idea of friendship, right? Sex is a way of just building relationships. It's really cool. It's like intimacy, but it's more about relationship and friendship, not oneness, right? So for those four reasons, God intended sex. That's why he made sex, for pleasure, to make babies, for closeness, and for relationships, right? Now here's the thing. All of that God intended us to do in the context of marriage, right? And marriage is defined by the Bible as one man and one woman for life, right? And so anything outside of that what that ends up doing, it ends up violating one of those principles, right? And if you think about it, if it's, you know, have you guys seen that show on TLC, I Have Sister Wives, right? And you got old boy with the three or four wives or whatever. And you think about that, and yeah, is there babies being made? Oh yeah, there's a lot of babies being made. Is it fun? Well, probably for the guy, it's a lot of fun, right? Right? Is there companionship? Yeah, but what about the intimacy? Right? Well, the intimacy is ruined when you bring so many people into the mix, right? So it's not fulfilling all the biblical purposes for sex. Think about gay marriage, right? You think about a man and a man or a woman and a woman. Yeah, is it fun? Yeah. Is there intimacy? Yeah. Is there companionship? Yeah, but there's no babies, right? There's no procreation going on. Just from a biologically speaking standpoint, that's pretty impossible, right? So it's not fulfilling, right, the biblical purposes for marriage, right? And the thing about when we do things outside of the way God intended them, there's oftentimes consequences. You know, I'm always a guy that likes to fix things, right? I'm good. I hammer, like just this last weekend, I was fixing my exercise bike, putting things back together. But I'm also a little bit lazy at times, right? And so I'll be gone and like I'll see a tool that I need. I'm like, oh, dude, I really need a hammer. But like I'm in the backyard, my hammer's in the garage. And I'm just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just gonna bang on this thing with the back of my screwdriver, right? And I end up just banging on it, you know what I mean? And trying to use a tool that wasn't meant for that specific purpose. And what ends up happening, I either hurt myself or I break the tool, right? And there's negative consequences when we do things outside of God's purposes, right? And sex is the same way. When you use sex for a way, any other way from when it was intended for, there's consequences, and some of those consequences are very detrimental. So with that being said, that's my little spew on sex. That was like 6 minutes, right? What I want to do now, everybody got your questions in? Are we good? Right? Feel free to text more back if you got any. What I want to do is I want to invite our guest up, right? So our first guest I want to invite up is a volunteer here, and he's going to come help us out. Is he in the room? Mr. John Guan, come on up. Everybody give John a hand. John is our bass player. We'll stick John in the middle. John, you got the middle. Our next guest is... she is the wife of our worship pastor here, and so we're going to invite Miss Karen Baker up. Come on up, Miss Karen Baker. And our last guest, we have a very special visitor from Real Options, and so her name is Kelly. Kelly, come on up. Everybody give Kelly a hand. So I'm going to give you guys just take a quick 1 minute each. If you guys want to quickly just introduce yourself, and then we'll go ahead and we'll begin with the questions. And Kelly, go ahead. You can go first.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me here today. I am with an organization called Real Options. Just by raise of hand, how many of you heard of Real Options before? So some of you are aware. Okay, there's a lot of services that we have, but because I only have 1 minute, I'm not going to be able to tell you all the services. But one of the amazing things that I get to do is I get to go in the middle schools and the high schools, and I get to talk to you guys about sex, which I think is a really cool topic. And I get to talk to you guys about STDs and abstinence and all that. So that's what I do for Real Options. And so that's a little bit about me. I have two middle schoolers, and I've been married for 16 years. So.
Hi, I'm John. If you don't know who I am, come talk to me later. Promise, I won't kill you. I have my beautiful, lovely wife back there, Jennifer. I think I'll know who she is. And my two kids are there too, Noah and Caleb. That's Caleb being held up like that. So I know what sex is. Yes.
I'm Karen, and I am married to Pastor Dan. Like Pastor Daniel said, I'm the mother of four girls, and Brensley being one of them, and she is just so thrilled that I'm going to talk about sex. She's just so thrilled. But my background is a marriage and family therapist. So.
Yeah, awesome. Let's give it up one more time for our panel. Okay, Charles, are we ready to start this up? All right, so let's go. Question number one, I'll read it, and then you guys feel free to jump on in. So question number one is... what do you do when you think about sex when you're not supposed to think about it?
I guess from a guy's standpoint, I'll address that first. personal experience with this problem, and believe me, it's a problem that doesn't go away. So it starts from maybe even before you guys were here in this room down there in the house. And guess what? It's still going to happen, all right? Galatians 5 is where I want to point you. It says, you know, live by the Spirit so that the thoughts of immorality and debauchery and all of these evil thoughts don't enter your mind, but that you live by the Spirit and you will grow fruits by the Spirit. And I can also point you to Romans 12, where it says you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, if you try to think about sex and not think about sex, guess what? You're going to don't think of an elephant. What you got to think about? You thought I'm an elephant. All right, so if you try not to think about sex, you're just going to be in this little vicious cycle. We're just going to keep thinking about sex. Take your mind off of it. Go outside. Play a sport. You know, play chess. Play a game. You know? Do something with yourself. So.
Let me add to that, too, real quick, John. I think a lot of times, you guys, we don't realize that you think about what you put into yourself, right? So whatever you see, whatever you read, whatever you like bring to your attention, whether it's visually or mentally, are the things you're going to think about, right? So if you're listening to music that has explicit sexual lyrics, you're going to think about sex. If you're watching movies that are overtly sexual, you're going to be thinking about sex. If you're looking at magazines and all the media that you put before you, if all that has sex in it, guess what? You're going to think about sex. So a lot of dealing with your mind, that's the Romans 12 John said, is do not conform to this world, but be transformed by how? By the renewing of your mind. So you really want to watch what you put in your mind. What are you thinking about? What are you reading? What are you watching? All those things are going to affect how you think, right? So remember, the battle with this happens in your mind first. You are going to be who you think, and you think what you watch, what you see, and the people you hang out with. So it's just how it works. Thank you, John. Next question, Charles. Hit me back. Do you still go to heaven if you aren't a virgin when you marry? Good question.
Well, yes, if you have confessed your sins before the Lord. You know what? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's what you have to really keep in mind, that if that's a choice that you've made before you were married, and that really does go against biblical belief, then you need to confess that. So, you know, those things are washed clean. It's a starting day. You can start new with that.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Next question. Generally speaking, why is it that the church tries to avoid the topic of sex but complains when school teaches sex ed? That's a good question. You want to take that?
I'll take that one. So it is kind of awkward to talk about sex in church because, I mean, you just mentioned sex and people get kind of bashful. Not you guys, because you guys can talk about sex all day long, right? But for a lot of people, it's kind of an embarrassing topic and one that people are kind of shy of. Why do they get upset when the topic or complain when schools teach sex ed? Because I'll tell you what the schools have in there. They have different organizations that go into the schools and they teach you that, hey, you know what? Put a condom on, have safe sex. It's no big deal. But in reality, that kind of goes against what we believe spiritually, that it's not just about being safe. And if anyone tries to tell you that you can sin safely, it's lying. They're lying to you. You cannot sin safely. There are always consequences, like Pastor Daniel was talking about. There will always be consequences for sin. And having sex outside of marriage, that's considered a sin. But anyway, they try and go in there and tell you guys, just put a condom on. It's no big deal. Just put a condom on and, you know, it's no big deal. But they don't talk to you guys about the consequences. They don't talk to you about the emotional, the physical, the financial, the spiritual, the emotional consequences that takes place when you have sex outside of marriage. So as your parents, they love you. They want to see you have the very best lives, just like God does. God wants to see you guys have the very best lives. So when somebody tries to tell you something different than that, yeah, they get a little upset.
Thank you.
Can I go on with that?
You can.
Too?
Go for it. Yeah.
Awesome. Another thing, too, I think sometimes in the education that you get in school, like Kelly was saying, you know, just use a condom, the whole thing there, that sometimes I've seen Christian parents even agree with that. Well, I know you're in high school. You're going to do it anyway. So I'd rather you be safe. But you know what? You guys need to be above that. You know, you don't have Pastor Herman a couple weeks said in his sermon, he said, you have to think, I may not be better than you, but I serve a God who demands more of me. And that's what I think of, too, that, you know, our school systems, in a lot of the school systems, aren't teaching that you're better than that. They just assume that you don't have self-control. They just assume that you can't say no. They just assume that you don't have support, but you do. And that's another reason, you know, to really just go to what the school is teaching is different and is contrary to what we're teaching here at the church.
Finally, I want to add just one more point, is that you talk about the church. Well, I guess you all are very lucky that you go to this church, where we do talk about it, and we do educate you and help support you when you go through struggles. So when you talk about the church, don't make generalizations. Talk about the one you go to and talk about what you can do to fight your own temptations or together.
All right. Good answers. Next question, Charles. Apart from why the Bible says to not have sex, what is another important not to have sex? So the question is apart from the Bible saying just don't do it, what are some reasons that we shouldn't have sex before marriage?
So there are actually six reasons. There are six consequences when you have sex outside of marriage. Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So physical. Somebody just tell me. I like interaction. I'm sorry if that's okay.
Go for it.
Somebody just raise your hand and tell me, what's one of the physical consequences of having sex outside of marriage? Yeah. Yeah, you could get pregnant and have a baby, right? Or the guy would have child support, right? Okay. What else? Physical consequence. Yeah. Yes, diseases. And there's lots of them. They're called sexually transmitted diseases. Many of them you cannot get rid of. Once you have them for life. That means that when you do get married, you will have them with that person, with the person you marry. Any other? So let's see. There's physical, emotional. What's emotional consequence? Yeah, you could fall in love with the wrong person. Yeah.
You lose your innocence.
You lose your innocence, yeah. That's kind of a spiritual one. You kind of change. You lose your innocence. Yeah, it's good, though. Yeah, did you have one? Or you're just yawning? You're just tired. Okay. When people break up after having sex, what do you think happens? Does somebody get sad? Yeah. Who do you think, girls or guys, which one gets depressed more? Ooh, girls? Who thinks girls? More girls get depressed after a breakup? Who thinks guys? Raise your hand. The guys in the back think so. Guys, actually, you know what? You would think that it's the girls, right? But actually, what do girls do when they're sad? They eat ice cream. What else? They cry. They shop. They talk. They talk with their girlfriends, right? They're like, oh, I just broke up with this guy, right? But what do guys do? They go into a cocoon. They think, oh, this is just not a big deal. I'm going to shove it down. Okay, so guys are actually the ones that get more depressed because they don't have somebody to talk it out with. So, guys, I do want to encourage you that if that happens to you, please go to somebody you trust and talk to them about it, because we don't want you to be depressed. I'm sorry, I'm taking a long time. The next one, so there's spiritual, financial. So spiritual, obviously, a lot of you guys in here are Christians, I'm assuming. A lot of you are. So if you have sex, what might happen with your spiritual walk? It's kind of awkward to be around other Christians if you have sex outside of marriage and you're like, ooh, I know that was not the best choice. Your relationship with God might be a little awkward at first for a while. Financial. What do you guys think is a financial consequence? Child support. You're right. What else? Babies. Are babies expensive?
Hell yeah.
They are expensive, yeah. Babies are great. They're great things, but they are expensive, right? How many of you guys know how much it costs to treat HIV per month? If you get HIV, how many? It's $1,000 a month to treat HIV if you have HIV. $1,000. I can think of a couple of things that I'd like to do with $1,000 a month other than treating HIV, right? I'm going to go on to the next one because I've taken too much time. But those are some of the negative consequences of having sex outside of marriage. And
all right, next question, Charles. What if you know you are going to marry the person you want to have sex with? What if you know you're going to marry the person? So what if you're engaged, let's say, and you guys are going to be married, and you say, well, let's just have sex, we're kind of prematurely. So what do you guys, anybody want to answer that?
Take that one. The question back to you is, do you really know, I mean, even if you think that you do now, do you really know that you're going to marry this person? And that pretty much answers the question, is that we don't really know for sure what will happen tomorrow, right? How many of you guys know of you know, you got invited, your parents got invited to a wedding, and then it got called off? Anybody? Yeah, I mean, that's happened to several of my friends. How many of you guys know somebody who passed away recently? I should see a lot of hands on this one. I mean, there was one of our own who passed away recently. So do we really know?
I think another way to look at that also is just what is God's commandment for us? I think, you know, I think sometimes we think, you know, I'm going to marry this person and maybe this is the person for me. But the reality is that God has been very clear what his requirements are for you. And if you're not married, then you shouldn't be having sex. And John, like John said, is right. You know, you don't know if that's actually going to be the person. I had a testimony of somebody I know who thought they were going to marry somebody, end up getting in a relationship with them, and then, you know, they never end up getting married, and there was this whole wreck, you know. And it's just, you really, there's something special about marriage, and it's a really big commitment that both of you make. And it's easy to say, yeah, I'm going to marry this person, but man, I mean, you really want to wait till you both are in that committed relationship and not jump in the gun. It's just going to be what's best for you.
I think sometimes you're going to hear people say, oh, but I want to know if we're compatible. I want to know if this is, you know, if we work together sexually. But you know what? If you've never had another partner and you come together in marriage, then it's going to work. It's going to work. It's when you have, you know, people are going to try to tell you that, oh, you need to know that before you marry them, the what ifs. But you know what? God takes care of all that what if. If he's a part of it, then it all comes together. And you learn together. And there's excitement in that, too.
Awesome. Go ahead.
I have one more thing to add. How much time do you think, I'm going to talk to you guys as high schoolers, do you think after having sex, does your relationship last after having sex? How long do you think? Months? Okay. What if there's no pregnancy involved? There's no pregnancy involved. You have sex. How long do you think your relationship's going to last? It's 3 weeks. That's on average. So, you know, if you say, oh, you know what? We need to just do something to our relationship because it's just kind of fizzling out. We need to get excitement in our relationship again. On average, relationships last about 3 weeks after you have sex. So it's not really a good thing to have sex just to try and build your intimacy, even if you're later on in life, not just high school, but later on in life.
Thank you. What if you don't want to die a virgin? Then get married.
I was gonna say.
Next question. Is it okay to never have sex ever? That's a good question. You guys want?
Yes. Yes, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes God calls you into a different kind of life. I know incredible people that are in their 60s, have never married, never had sex, but their life has been very fulfilled and very fulfilling because of what God has called them to. So, you know what? Sex isn't the only option in your life as far as what God calls you to. Marriage isn't the only thing that God can call you to.
Yeah, I just heard a really neat story about the the nose tackle for the Oakland Raiders, a brand new guy. I forget his name. Anybody know who the starting center is for the Oakland Raiders? The guy's 23 years old. He just started. He's on fire from the Lord, and he's not ashamed to stand up and proclaim that he still hasn't had sex. And that he's just another Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow, another example of just people who have decided that, you know what, just because the culture says that I need to have sex, they're not buying into it. And there's more to life, and there's more to what God has for you than just going out and having sex and knowing people in a biblical way. So that's awesome to hear.
Yeah. Let me address that also. Where do you get this notion that you're not cool, or that you're just forever alone, or if you're just, you know, this, you know,
loser mentality.
Exactly, a loser if you don't have sex. Where does that come from? Maybe the media, maybe it's your friend, the internet, TV shows, the music that glorifies this, right? And, you know, going back, if you have a marriage or if you have a relationship that's based solely on sex, or for that matter, if you have a relationship that's based on anything other than Jesus Christ, it's going to fail. And so that's where I want to point you to. The Jesus Christ of our relationship, he died a virgin. Did he have a wife? No. Was he perfect? You know, was he tempted? Yes. So you can deduce from the Bible that our very own Lord and Savior died a virgin. So if you think about it that way, maybe we should aspire to be like Jesus in that regard. And, you know, Apostle Paul writes, you know, it's better to not marry. I didn't have that strength, so I married.
Yeah, me too.
You know, so... You know, a lot of pastors will tell you, hey, if you have that gift, don't marry, use your life for the Lord. But, you know, if you still have the urges, go get married.
Go get married, guys. What he means is, you know, never mind. Next question. God accepts everyone for who they are, but how is homosexuality accepted in society? I'm going to read that again. God accepts everyone for who they are, but how is homosexuality accepted in society? So I think what they're saying is, if God accepts everyone, why aren't homosexualities accepted in our society as well? I think that's what they're trying to say. I just reworded it. You want me to take it? You guys, Karen?
Well, I'll do one part of it, and you can probably do the other part. Okay. But, you know, I have a friend who's been a friend for a long time and who came out of a homosexual lifestyle. And I'll never forget him saying he was raised in a Christian home, but took a few years and really explored in the homosexual lifestyle. And he said that one day he had to decide if he loved the Lord more than he loved the lifestyle. And he chose that he still feels that he is still living that kind of a life inside. But just as a heterosexual man would not sleep around or do anything like that, he chose celibacy. He chose the Lord and a life of celibacy because he loved the Lord more than he loved that lifestyle. And yeah. So he made a choice in that area. And I think also, you know, somewhere along the way, people, if you say, well, I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, then you're a hater, that, you know, you hate all homosexuals. And I know for me, that's not what I believe. I believe I can honor what God says and still love people and love who they are. And I heard a couple weeks ago someone saying, oh, you know, you love the person, but you hate the sin. And I just kept, I mean, we've all heard that. But you know what? I've got so much sin in my life, I don't even have time to hate their sin. I got to hate my own sin. I've got to be looking at who I am and where I'm failing the Lord. I don't have time to be looking at where someone else is failing. I have to look within myself. And as long as I'm striving to live a life that is Christ-centered and treating you, whether, you know, you're living a gay lifestyle, whether you're shacking up with someone, whether you're, you know, whatever sin, I got to look at myself and not at somebody else.
I think that's perfect. I think, you know, I think the church oftentimes has focused a lot on the homosexual as like the real big sin. But the reality is it's no different than any other sin that we're doing. And, you know, and it's, you know, it's, sometimes I say, you know, I got young people that come in this room all the time and you guys are partying, smoking weed and going to having sex outside of marriage. I know some of you have dealt with some different issues, and it's really no different than the act of homosexuality. And, you know, some of you that I know really well, I'll tell you, man, I love you, but you're being an idiot and you're screwing up your life. And that's really the message. The message isn't that you're a horrible person. The message is God loves you, and there's so much more for your life than the lifestyle that you're involved in, whether that is homosexuality or whether that's some other sin, you know. So, and I do feel bad that we have, as a church, in the big sense, kind of isolated and really, you know, come against the homosexual community. You know, in the Bible it says, you know, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but is against principalities. And really there's something behind that we really need to be at war with. And we're not at war with the sinners. You know, God has called us to love and to reach out a hand in friendship. So, good question. Next question. Is masturbation considered sex? Great question.
I guess I'm stepping up to the plate on that one.
Yeah. Tell me if you need help, John. Or you want me to take it?
I would just like to say, for the record, there are girls who masturbate too. So, okay, so let's get real here. You know, when you masturbate, you essentially have sex with yourself. Okay, and I've heard from sex therapists that, hey, you know, everyone should masturbate so you know what feels good and you can communicate that. Well, you know, let them have their, if you have an issue with that, then go see the sex therapists and whatnot, okay? But I'll tell you from my experience that when you have your mind fixated on sex, then, you know, maybe masturbation will take your mind off of it for a little while. But guess what? It comes back. And it comes back stronger than before. And then you're caught up in this vicious cycle again. So a good reason not to masturbate is so that you can devote your time into meaningful things, useful things, spiritual things, you know, godly things. So, you know, you don't have to have sex with yourself in order to get your mind off of sex, okay? And there are, you know, God does not tempt you more than you can handle. So the easiest way for me to encourage you to go ahead and to focus on something else is this topic addressed in the Bible? You know, do you see anyone in the Bible masturbating? No. So if you don't see people in the Bible doing it, why would you want to do it?
Yeah, masturbation is one of those things, so it's not in the Bible, and so there's a lot of people on different sides. Is it considered sex? I think John was right. It's considered sex with yourself. Is it considered a sin? You know, there's a whole debate over whether masturbation is a sin. I'll give you a couple reasons why I don't think we should practice in it, whether it's a sin or not. Number one, the Bible says, you know, if you even look at somebody with lust in your mind, you've committed adultery, right? So there's this act that, you know, when you even think about that type of thing, you're not really supposed to be embarking in that. And what is masturbation? Masturbation oftentimes is directly related to pornography. And what are you doing? You're looking at people having sex. You're allowing that stuff in your mind, and that's not bad. Number two, here's another one, is whenever you masturbate or whenever you embark in sexual activity, it grows your internal drive for that. So oftentimes people who masturbate, they do it often, and then what they're doing is they're really growing this drive inside of them for sex, right? And what happens is once that drive grows, you're creating an unhealthy expectation for sex with your partner, right? And so you get married, and all of a sudden, you know, you're used to masturbating every day. Now you want to have sex with your partner every day, and they're just like, hold up, you know? And so, and then, I'm being serious, right? And then it's just this weird thing that happens. Number three is, the Bible has, God says sex is for people to enjoy together, not by yourself. And what you do is when you're so into masturbating and doing it by yourself, you lose one of the most special things about sex, and that's the intimacy that comes with it. And so it really ruins your intimacy with your partner. And it spoils that. You know, I've had people who they're so into themselves when it comes to masturbation that they would rather masturbate than actually have sex with their spouse because there's less emotional work,
right? They have they're totally detached from the intimacy apart from masturbation. So in all, masturbation can be extremely unhealthy for you emotionally and with the intimacy in your marriage. So it's something that you really, and it can be considered sinful. So it's definitely something that you want to shun away from, all right? I think that was... Next question. That's it. All right, we ended on masturbation. Good one. Nice. All right, so let's thank our panel. Thank you guys for coming. You guys can go ahead, and I'll just close this out. You can just go and set that down on the chair. Yeah, we'll clean that up. Thank you very much. I'm just going to close this out in prayer. We're a little bit late, but hey, I just want to thank the panel. Was awesome. They did an awesome job. I want to thank you guys for the questions. Those were great questions we had. I want to encourage you guys to come on back next week. Our next 3 weeks. We have 5 more weeks of this. We got 5 more topics. The next 2 are kind of right in the line with sex, and so it's more great questions, I hope. And I hope you guys come on back and you guys ask more great questions. I am going to pray. As soon as I'm done praying, there's some extra food in the back. You guys are more than welcome to devour that. So go kill that. So let me pray, and then we'll hang out for a minute. Lord, I thank you for sex, Lord. I thank you for such an awesome gift, Lord, that you have given humanity, Lord, to enjoy in the context of marriage, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for showing us how to use it correctly, Lord. I thank you for just this youth room, Lord, this youth group, Lord, where we can talk about these things, Lord, in a way, Lord, that's healthy and productive, Lord, in order that we would know biblically, Lord, and according to your will, Lord, how we are supposed to engage sex, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord. And I just pray for those people in here, Lord. Maybe there's people in here struggling with depression or struggling with loneliness, Lord, or struggling with some sort of relational fallout because of sex, Lord. And I just pray for healing on them today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would show your love on them in a radical way, Lord, and that you would sweep in, Lord, and that you would be their boyfriend or their girlfriend, Lord, and that they would be content with a relationship with you, and that they would find meaning and purpose in you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for all of us, Lord, as we continue to go to school back this school year, Lord, that you would keep us safe, protect us, Lord, as we go out, Lord. And we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.